terrific that we have over 60 people who have logged on to our web stream and to our phone call this morning. So it seems like a relatively healthy attendance in this time, and a brand new technology that we've introduced with the live stream today. We are going to continue to move forward in every way we can to remain connected to our local church, and we would trust that the Lord would bring more people at this time. Lots of people are absolutely looking at reality like we've never had before. I just want to give you a few announcements. As you know, everything, and I'm sure if you are not part of our church on a regular basis or attend another church, every church has been dealing with this and trying to figure out how to get creative. If you've seen the Wareham Week this week, they have written up a whole article. I spent time on the phone as well as a number of other pastors who were contacted about how is your church dealing with the COVID-19 crisis in terms of keeping your people spiritually encouraged. Well, this is some of the things that we're doing. Our women's Bible study, which takes place every Tuesday morning at 9:30, a terrific opportunity for the ladies to encourage one another, will continue this coming Tuesday at 9:30. You want to call into that phone line, 425-535-9479. Then the men's Bible study will meet the following day, Wednesday at 7 a.m., same exact number. Just call in a few minutes before. If we can webcam our new man Bible study, we will be sending out a text message about that. We've not decided if we'll be able to do that yet, but we're working on that as we speak. And also, if we go back to that other slide, Paul, reminding you that we have our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. So Wednesday morning at 7 for the men's Bible study, and then Wednesday evening at 6:30, we'll reconnect on the phone, 425-535-9479, and we can pray together. That call is actually opened up so that if people want to share a prayer request, you'll feel free to do that. There's a lot of different features on the call line that we can either mute, unmute, give you an opportunity to put a question or a prayer request in. So we'll keep you posted as those things develop. Okay. So there are people who throughout this week have received numerous. We have inundated you. We have this Crate text app, but it really came in handy this last several days. If you want to become aware of what we're doing as a church, you can text GLF to 84576 to receive the latest updates. So you want to just be on, you can just, like, everybody's on text these days. That's why part of our thought with the phone line is everybody has a cell phone. I mean, I know some of you are on the Facebook feed right now. Some of you have logged directly into the website. Some people have neither of, you know, they don't do Facebook. They don't like Facebook. Anyway, we like the technology. We're trying to use it. But if you're one of those people, use the conference line, and we'll do our best to remain connected to you. But anyway, so text GLF to 84576, and then you'll receive the latest updates. Well, this has been also encouraging, as we have a number of people who've reached out to us about giving. How can we continue to support Grace Lighthouse Church? We had an amazing 2019. And at the tail end of 2019, as I think a lot of people did, started to encounter some challenges. And here we are in the new year of 2020, and a lot has changed. And it changed relatively quickly. I don't think any of us expected the whole world to pretty much shut down in the last week. But anyway, some people are still wanting to know how can they give to our church. You can simply go online to gracelighthouse.org, /mygift. And, of course, we've got the conventional post office box, P.O. Box 1. That's Grace Lighthouse Church. Post Office Box 1. People ask me, how did you get Box 1? That's another story for another day. Anyway, P.O. Box 1, Wareham, Mass. 02571. So anyway, thank you so much. And our financial secretary last night told me, she says, people have been contributing online. So I want to say personally, as the pastor of Grace Lighthouse Church, thank you. By the way, if you don't know me, I'm Dave Feggery, the pastor of the church. So hopefully you do, and we're glad you're out there. And I just want to share some thoughts today, moving into our time of the message. You know, I just want to deal with the elephant in the room. Who has been using my Purell? It's almost gone. and you are not getting my TP, okay? I've got it right here. It's handy. Hopefully you cracked up a little bit. We need to make this, we need to be lightened up a little bit, I think, because there's so much, there's just so many things right now going on. You just see crazy stories, and there are certainly some good stories. So we should really be grateful for the good stories, people trying to respond to their neighbors. So I think let's be praying for our country right now, especially. If you have seen the daily White House briefing with the president, vice president, the COVID-19 task force, they are intending almost noontime each day. They want to tell us essentially what we know. It is a what we know type of briefing and how this pandemic is affecting us and what they're doing about that. So there's a what we know sort of theme that comes out of the daily briefing. And I said just a moment ago, who would have known that just even 4 weeks ago, you could almost say who would have known even a week ago that we would be living in a whole new context? Typically, if you were here on a Sunday morning at this time, which would be 10:32, I'd probably be heading to the pulpit just about right now. We've got transitions, we got kids leaving, it's all that stuff. But this building is super quiet on this Sunday. I'm so thankful for the people who are here with me today working behind the scenes. They worked with us all week to do our best to make sure that this feed would be coming directly to you. The fact is that we're not meeting together in buildings right now. That has changed. And who really knows when it's all going to go back to normal? We all have these dates in mind. Is it March 31st? Is it April 7th? Will we even be together for Easter? Well, I don't think we should be overly concerned about that at this moment, but that's the type of unknown that we're facing right now. And I just want you all to know, I do miss you all. It is like crazy. We love you guys, and it's important that you know that. So a Purell cleaned up fist bump to all of you right now. But I want to call this message what we know, if you would, what we know as believers in Jesus Christ. There are some things in this world that no matter what happens, if everybody dies from COVID, okay, which I probably like, Pastor, don't speak that way. Okay, I don't want to speak that way. But let's just say, like, the worst imaginable thing that could happen. And I don't believe that's going to happen. But there's a couple things in this life that never change. Number one, God does not change. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus, he said, the book of Hebrews says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only one who can say that is God in human flesh. He's the only one who actually, I'm on, correct? Okay, oop, Paul wants me to adjust my microphone. Thank you. Okay, all right, well, let's bend this out a little bit. So, back to that for just a moment. God does not change. The Bible, referring to Jesus, says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number two, as Jesus talked about the future in Luke chapter 21, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And he can certainly say this because Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. And I hope you've considered that today. I think when realities like we're facing today, you're going to need a few things to hold on to. Because we don't know. I mean, we're going out to stores and seeing empty shelves and people are hoarding. And it's like, my goodness, who took all the chicken, right? Have you felt that way this week? You know, where is it? Why are all these items? The toilet paper, and that is my role. But in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, most assuredly. And I want to talk a little bit about that word, most assuredly, after I read the verse. In John chapter 5, verse 24, it's also up here on the screen. Certainly, you could log on with your own Bible or open up to your own Gospel of John. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. You may be familiar with the old King James Version of the Bible. this most assuredly in the KJV is verily, verily. Those words, verily, verily, or most assuredly, appear 25 times in John's Gospel. From Jesus himself, God incarnate, God in human flesh. And the only reason Jesus can say this is because he has firsthand knowledge and all authority about it. So when he says to us, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. In other words, you are believing the record of God. That the Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this dark world to be the savior of the world. A lot of people say, well, why isn't he fixing it? Well, he is going to. And that's a guarantee. Meanwhile, God has entered a sinful world in the human form, just like we are, yet without sin. And he lived a perfect life. Not to rub it in anyone's face, but that's our Jesus. He was perfect. In his body was sinless blood. He never sinned. And because of that, he could be the Lamb of God that the Bible says takes away the sin of the world. And God says, trust me when I tell you, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. A true believer in Jesus Christ is already living as a fully alive person in the Savior right now, even in the midst of COVID-19. We are living in a time where there's a lot of concern. And people may wonder, will I die from COVID? You know, we don't know. I've heard of one story in New Jersey where COVID took four members of one family. And that is just heartbreaking. And our hearts break when we hear stuff like that. But I want to tell you that the Bible is so clear about this, that if you're one who said, Jesus, I believe that you've done this for me, and we have evidence from the Holy Scriptures that Jesus Christ, when he was nailed to that cross by his enemies and people who hated him, who said, crucify him, he knew who he was dying for. He died for his enemies because God, guess what, loves his enemies. He loves us. He loves us. The Bible says that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. And so now we go from an incredibly incredible status with God. We move from enemy territory because sin's in the picture. Sin was in our life and it still affects our life. And what you're seeing in this world is really the result of sin. Sin entered this world many, many, many years ago, and it has permeated. That's why we have death. We just have the death issue. Christ took on the death problem head on. And as you live in this life right now, with all that's going on, and you have Jesus, you have true everlasting life. The only requirement, which is the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world, is that God says, you accept the fact that I died on that cross for you to pay for something you can't pay for. Only precious blood, only sinless, precious blood can, as Amanda and Beth sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That one-time sacrifice on that cross accomplished just that so perfectly. And as we believe that Christ did that for us individually, God says, I am giving you the guarantee of everlasting life. The pressure is off. Performance-based living no longer applies here. Because you're not going to be good enough anyway. But God says, I know that, and I'm still going to give you everlasting life. Everything that I accomplished on that cross, I'm going to give it to you freely. I love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? I love gifts. And I sometimes look at, like, we all kind of look at our piles of gifts, like, you know, how many did I get? How many did they get? Or whatever. Maybe you're not as selfish as I am. I hopefully am sort of just being a little honest here. But the truth of the matter is we all like gifts. We truly like the reality that when we open something that we didn't have to earn, somebody just gave it to us, they're not expecting anything in return, that's salvation. And that's what God is offering to this world as we speak. That offer stands. God offers each of us this complete and full offer. You can say, well, I'm kind of religious, Pastor. See, the tricky thing about being religious is that there's still a mentality in our thinking that our good deeds are enough to get us to heaven. That's just, you don't want to go there. What you want to go with what's been done for you. And just simply say, I believe he did that for me. One look at that sacrifice. And you say, I want it. Guarantees you eternal life in heaven. I don't ever get tired of telling this amazing gospel story. So just so we go back, I see in John chapter 5, this idea that Jesus is true life for us. He is this true picture of life because his life was perfect. And because he laid down his life, he gave us the credit of his perfect life. But that doesn't come just because he did it. You and I have to receive it. You have to lay hold of it, just like you would if my family member gave me a Christmas gift. That Christmas gift was something I just had to receive and open up. And even if I didn't even be overly dramatic, I received the gift. I reached out for the gift, and I took the gift. I believe as a believer in Christ, you become in greater appreciation for what God did for you. Sometimes you might hear a message like this, like, some of this really doesn't just make sense to me. I kind of think I'm there. I just encourage you, make sure that you look at John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is making, he's saying, verily, verily, truly, this is an authoritative offer. This offer is authoritative. It comes from God himself to you. And then when we accept that, we move from a horrible status of death into life. Even though we still face physical death, that really doesn't matter. The real death problem of separation from God has been dealt with in full. And when God sees you, he sees a fully righteous person because you've trusted Christ. I'm going to keep going here. Jesus is true life for us. And I was looking, that was John 5:24. And he's also everything for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Corinthians comes just a little bit after the Gospel of John. You'd go through the book of Acts and then Romans. And then you got these two letters that the Apostle Paul writes to people who are struggling in their faith. They're struggling to understand, how does all this get played out in my life now? That's why we want to read the Bible. And there's a separate set of instructions for the church that the Apostle Paul was given by Jesus. And that comes in books like 1 and 2 Corinthians, in the book of Romans. You would see it in the book of Philippians, in the book of Philemon. Paul instructs Timothy. These are all church scriptures. They teach us. But here's one awesome truth early in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's because of him that you are in Christ. Oh, wow. Look at that. That you are in him, but of him you are now in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is something that you don't and I don't. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody out there. Righteousness is something that you and I are given by Christ himself, because he's all righteousness. And he says, you can have this. And then sanctification. In other words, God has set you apart because of your acceptance of what Christ did for you. He set you apart. He says, you're mine. I own you. I purchased you. I love you. And I want to use your life now. And then redemption is this idea that God is going to fully restore our life, this physical life. He's giving us a brand new body. When Jesus is placed in that tomb upon his death, his body was beaten and bruised. I mean, people went to that tomb like weeping, like our Savior's gone. Look at what he did, his miracles, his record, everything that our Savior did. And all of a sudden he is gone. And the ladies get to the tomb on that first morning. And the angel says, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Wow. Think about that. And so the guarantee of our salvation is the fact that there's a bodily resurrection, and it's Jesus. And he shows up to his disciples. He has the power, the supernatural power to walk through a wall and show up. They're all doubting him. All just, you know, licking their wounds. And you can just imagine the regret of someone like Peter. I denied him. I denied him three times. And then Peter and Jesus have this very intimate conversation along the shore. I think life is going to feel rather tender in these times. I'm like, you know, we're all hanging around the house, and I realize, this is my family. I love these guys. I don't want to lose any one of them. And sometimes when we're in a time of loss, and I think of Peter, he was probably in this time of great grieving, great loss. And God had still a plan to use Peter's denial, his brokenness. Maybe you're out there listening today, and you're like, I'm not a good Christian. I stink. Don't say that. God sees something very good there. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, you need to accept the fact that God made you righteous. The moment you trusted Christ, if you were 8 years old, you said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. God remembers that prayer. You don't forget it either. Yes, we all can improve in this thing. Absolutely. And we never want to forget that. So Jesus is true life for us. He is everything for us. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness. Scripture says there's sanctification and redemption. Wow. You and I should just be resting today, that this is reality. This is a true reality for every one of us in Christ today. Are you in Christ? I pray you are. I pray that you would just settle that one today. And Jesus is the keeper of us. Beth read Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. You know, if you bang something, if you're in the trades and you bang something to put it in alignment, you're persuading it, you're moving it, you're pushing it in the right direction. The apostle in his thinking is moved in the right direction here. He is persuaded. In other words, he's fully convinced. He hears the words, verily, verily. He hears the words, most assuredly, that neither death nor life nor angels. Death nor life. In other words, this is everything that could affect us in the here and now with COVID-19 and everything going on around us. These are real challenges that we face right now. Yes, the world has faced similar pandemics, but you know what occurred to me? Even if you get back to the early 1900s, you talk about the Spanish flu that took a lot of people. I understand like 50 million people died. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all these platforms of distribution. You know, your favorite news network, whatever that might be. The 24/7, you know, talking heads on this whole thing. And I get it. It seems like this crisis may actually be bringing people together a little bit more. I mean, guess what? We all have one thing in common. We have death in common. But we should also have Jesus Christ in common because he's the victor. And he won this battle already. And so that's why when we think about things that right now in this life affect us, death nor life nor angels nor principalities, these are all things. The scriptures talks about that we battle not against flesh and blood. Not just everything here and now beside the people. We have spiritual forces of darkness working against this world. Just look at your newspaper. Look at opiate addiction. Look at just craziness going on in the world. What causes that? Well, there's a problem that's going on, and Christ is the remedy, and he's going to make all things right. That's why our church teaches Bible prophecy. I teach the rapture, because I believe that's an event that could happen in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. It's promised. We just don't know when. No, we never set dates. The rapture is signless. It could happen at any moment. It could happen today. It's not because, oh, COVID's here, we're going to see the rapture. I do believe that if you were to even look at the book of Revelation, you see some of the things that are going to play out in the final days of human history. Could we be some of that stuff coming into place? Could be. But in the meantime, every believer should be having the hope that Christ could call his church, that's every believer in Jesus, off the planet. Imagine if that happened today. Wow. Think of the news that would bring. They're gone. Christians. We're not even meeting in our buildings right now. So they don't even know where we were. We weren't even meeting today. Most of us aren't even there. But anyway, but Jesus Christ is the keeper of us. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I could not preach this message if I did not believe this. I wouldn't be here today. If you saw the work that went in this week just to be with you today, I'm so glad you're there. But you got to think about that you can face COVID-19. You can face this world if you have this truth in you. These three truths. What we just looked at, Jesus is the keeper of us, Romans chapter 8. Jesus is everything for us, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. And John chapter 5 verse 24. Jesus is true life for us. In other words, he's real life. And he talks about, don't fear those who can kill the body. Rather fear him who ultimately has the power. God can say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you didn't appropriate this glorious gift. God is a gracious gift giver. And he wants every one of us right now. And that's why my commitment is to preach this glorious news until he comes for me and his church. And I hope that you are part of that group. You know, we talk about being sheltered in. Is Massachusetts heading towards a shelter-in status? That means you really can't go anywhere. You might be able to get out and get some food, or maybe get your prescriptions, or get gas, or whatever. Think about it this way. Are you sheltered today in Christ? Ooh, think about that. Everything we've just talked about is really the real theme of being sheltered in. I mean, don't be just being in your home all mopey. Hey, I'm in Jesus Christ today. I'm in him. The Bible uses that word a lot, in. I mean, it's repetitive throughout the scripture. Because God, spiritually speaking, can take you and put you in Jesus because you said, with an act of my will, I believe what he did for me is 100% guaranteed. And when you do that, you are now in him. You are sheltered in Jesus. This is a glorious promise. And God is so good. And I would pray this morning, because 2,000 years ago this happened. 2,000 years ago, God communicated big time to the world. I love you. I'm sending my son. Jesus said to a very religious leader in John chapter 3, named Nicodemus. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus was actually afraid to come to Jesus in under daylight. So he comes to him under nighttime. Because perhaps it was like, well, you know what? Think about where Nicodemus was. I got a lot of questions. I'm witnessing this person do some incredible things. He's turning water into wine. He's healing people. And you could read John's gospel. Maybe that's something you should do this week, is start reading the gospel of John, the 21 chapters. And you'll experience Christ personally in those pages. So Jesus dealt with a religious person and said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter it. Well, what does born again mean? It means that you need a new life. And that life right now is available to everybody out there listening by simply saying, and would you pray with me on this right now? Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I know I have sin and you are the remedy for that you would take it away because you paid for it in full on that cross. And not only that, Jesus, when I became a believer in you, you said, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray for anyone out there this morning who needs the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that these truths would become their own. Lord, I pray right now that they would turn to you and say, Lord, I believe you. I heard that, Pastor. I heard that guy with the Purell and the toilet paper, and he made some sense, and thank you, Lord, for doing that. And that, Lord, I pray that that person out there watching would just say, this is my day. I'm done. I'm done worrying. I'm done thinking about where am I going to be if I die. I'm going to go with what he said because Jesus did this for me, and I received that gift. If that's you this morning, I'd say, hey, raise your hand right there, right in front of your computer screen. Maybe you could just raise it in your own heart. Maybe you might tell someone today, hey, I actually believe the gospel. This is the gospel. The Bible says that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Enough said. So we believe that. And thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray for your comfort to flood the hearts and minds of everybody out there listening today. I pray that you would bring assurance to people's hearts, that they would be a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus because of these amazing truths. The Bible says, would go on to say, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much, Father. Again, be with our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Last thing, you can always log on to our website, gracelighthouse.org. I believe under that live stream, you're going to see a contact button. If you're a first-time viewer out there, let us know how we could help you. I've got people in this church who would like see your phone number and say, hey, can I call you? Maybe you say, have the pastor call me. Let me know. Maybe that's something you want to do. Maybe you need prayer this week. Be sure to join us on our prayer conference line this week, 425-535-9479. All of this stuff is communicated on our website, how you can sign up for our text messages. Maybe, Paul, we can just put that up one more time, the text message. So if you want to connect with us, just simply text the letters GLF to 84576 and you'll receive the latest updates. I hope you heard my heart today. I tell our live congregation every Sunday when you're all here, if God be for us, who could be against us? Isn't that awesome? May he bless you abundantly, even today. May your strength be stronger than ever in Jesus. And may you know that truth for your own self. And we'll hopefully see you again very soon. God bless you.